It was a cold November afternoon, and the rain from yesterday had not yet died down.
It felt as if the entire universe was grieving with me, trying to hide my tears. I told myself I had to stay strong for my mother and my siblings. But sometimes, being strong is easier said than done when you feel like a major part of your entire being has been torn apart, when it feels like the entire world has come crashing down to a single moment, one that can destroy you completely. My sister was not just gone. It felt like a part of me had been ripped away, leaving a void I did not know how to fill. The church where we held the homegoing service was near our childhood home. Its exterior was adorned with red brick and white stone, with a sloping roof covered in red clay tiles and a golden cross on the steeple. Inside, an open foyer welcomed visitors with its shining wooden floors and crystal sconce lighting. The sanctuary had high, smooth white walls, deep red cushioned seats, and carpeted floors. Stained glass windows were decorated with religious designs, and chandeliers hung from the ceiling, making the room feel peaceful. We used to go there every Sunday, where our family and friends would gather. Today was another such day, except it was Annette's last day with us and ours with her. The sun was nowhere to be seen, and the clouds hung heavier and gloomier than ever. It was colder than it had been in days. The guests poured in with their umbrellas dripping from the drizzling rain, and everyone was wrapped in large, warm coats. Today, as the guests' slow shuffle of feet echoed through the building, laughter was replaced with whispers of condolence, adding to the already gloomy atmosphere. The number of guests, friends, co-workers, and family was overwhelming. Annette had always been the kind of person who made an impression on others, so seeing so many people coming to her homegoing service was no surprise. I glanced over at the choir stand. She should have been there singing. She had been one of the soloists, chosen out of dozens because her voice was unique. I could almost hear her singing, but today, that sound was just a memory, fading into the rain. The homegoing service was about to begin, and we were all gathered in mourning. Some of the guests were standing in the church's sanctuary, while others lingered in the foyer. My mother looked exhausted, having not slept at all since yesterday. Her eyes were puffy, and her skin was growing pale from being tired and hungry. In fact, none of us slept a wink. We had been wrapped up in grief and were so busy with the preparations for the homegoing service that we did not have the time to feed ourselves. My brothers and sisters looked lost and shocked, and I stood there, wishing I could take their pain away. My older brother, Edgar, and younger brother, Gregory, were the most composed and seemed to manage things well. They were trying to persuade my mother to eat something, but she appeared lost in her own world. For a moment, it seemed like her troubles had vanished while she gazed out the window. Yet, when she smiled, I could not help but think her thoughts were good ones, maybe memories of happy times. Watching my family suffer so much, my heart ached intensely, and my grief grew inside like some monster feeding on their feelings. It was extremely difficult for me to believe Annette was gone. Her absence stung me more than I thought it would. It was uncommon for me to be with my entire family without her. We made events comfortable for each other. I stood there now alone, wondering about my comfort. Should I allow myself to feel how I see everyone else expressing themselves? Should I stand strong for those who need strength? I silently asked myself these questions and chose to stand strong. I was not ready to endure the grief of my sister's passing, which I knew would overwhelm me. As I looked around, I saw Mr. Bradley, our old neighbor, in the crowd. He was always nice to us when we were kids. He walked over to me with a sad look on his face. "William," he spoke softly, "your sister was a great person. She always had a smile on her face." "Thank you, Mr. Bradley," I replied, but my voice was almost a whisper. "She was special." The guests were busy talking and gossiping about God knows what. Some of the women were surrounding my mother and comforting her, while others were crying and wiping their eyes with tissues. The men were trying to make conversation with my brothers and me. I wanted to shut everyone out and go to my sister, but I dared remember her as she is now, laying in her casket. It was a greater pain than I had ever felt. It was time for the homegoing service to begin. I took a seat and got prepared to speak. The guests who were in the foyer started to come into the sanctuary to sit down. My hands were trembling as I held tight the eulogy I had written. Taking a deep breath, I stood up, feeling a weight in my chest, and walked to the podium. The paper in my hands felt heavy, as though it carried the weight of Annette's memories.